Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
But what we've learned from the Ukraine experience is one wars can go on for a long time. And guess what? When you basically use stuff, you have to replace it. And that turns out you need production to replace it. And that production capability isn't there. The shells are being drained empty. Big problem, right?
Yeah, this was Stephen Flynn yesterday. This is at the National Maritime Day luncheon put on by the Propeller Club here in Pensacola. Matt Malstrup, who we talked about him before, he's the harbor pilot. He's the president, first ever National Maritime Day, and a very good, really interesting presentation from Dr. Stephen Flynn, who is the director of the Defense Industrial Base Initiative, essentially on the state of shipbuilding, ship repair, merchant marine, naval, all of this stuff kind of in one big lump. And what he was talking about there is that, you know, the Ukraine war showed how poorly prepared we and they and others are really for active war, for hot war, because after the kind of peace dividend and lackadaisical attitude towards national defense that we sort of understandably acquired after the fall of the Berlin Wall and the end of the Cold War, we just basically figured, you know, it's like Francis Fukuyama wrote, it's the end of history. It's over. You know, we're done. Well, it turns out it's not done. You know, it turns out there's, you know, terrorism is one. It turns out there's also, you know, China, Russia, North Korea, Iran. There's problems in the world. There's, you know, India, Pakistan. Some of them require us to have, you know, really strong navies and merchant marine. We have a pretty good navy, but the Chinese are coming fast. And we don't have a merchant marine. And that's all the support, the infrastructure, from the shipping to the tugboats to the cargo to the fuel, all of the other stuff that makes a navy work or just makes shipping work. And we just don't have it. You know, they have 50% of the global merchant marine, and we have less than 1%. That's bad if war ever comes because we just don't have the capability. So he went into a lengthy explanation of the five, you know, the basic areas, the problems, like with the, you know, the Houthis in Yemen start threatening commerce in the Middle East. So what do? We send in, you know, our ships to protect. And then in one day, we shoot off the entire annual production of our missiles. Which is, you know, good shock and awe, but the whole year's worth of production because we don't produce very many of these things because we haven't had to produce many of these things. And that's part of the problem. But
so how are we going to address this? Well, I think we're really in this extraordinary time and opportunity because it turns out our Congress, in a bipartisan way, and our president has put this as a top priority. President Trump has issued on April 9th, an executive order that lays out we're going to restore America's maritime dominance with a focus around American shipbuilding.
And I told you about this executive order before in some detail that one of the things that impressed me about it was the scope of detail. This was the one, if you remember, I was going through the like 13 or 14 subcategories within the EO. Some of the EOs have like five parts. This one has like 20, you know, so it's very, very thorough. It may not be adequate fully, but it's a really good start.
In the Reconciliation Act that was just passed by Congress today, by the House today, there is about 200 and there is 80. I'm sorry, $86 billion tied to shipbuilding, and it gets that down to $500 million for advanced manufacturing, additive manufacturing, and so forth here. So real money is being put toward potentially doing this.
But it's not a problem that will be solved by dumping piles of cash on it. There are five key areas, he explained, that are all part of the problem of having neglected this aspect of our military production capability for the last 30 years, basically. One.
The challenge really is to get five issues that we're all trying to work our way through. First, we desperately need a workforce that can actually meet this need. Right? We don't have enough folks going into manufacturing, generally, never mind manufacturing applied to the maritime or to the defense industrial base. So we need workforce.
We need kids to get excited about working in metals and construction and welding and building and, I don't know, aircraft maintenance, repair, and overhaul or ship maintenance, air, you know, repair and overhaul, and all of the things that go along with that. Because if you don't have the people, it doesn't matter how many shipyards you have. You don't have the people.
We don't have the supply chains to support this. We offshored so much stuff. Now we're finding that some of the places that we're sending, like critical minerals, oh, geez, China's just shut that off. How is that going to work for us? Right? We're not very self-reliant on the things we need. So a lot of that has to be reshored and onshored. And we're talking about, therefore, major efforts around supply chain that have to be done.
Finding places other than China to get our stuff, because if war comes, China won't make it available. Finding places to get rare earth minerals. Finding, you know, forcing domestic production to resurge so that we have it in order to resurrect our shipbuilding capability.
And there's best practices in advanced manufacturing. We're using in the aerospace industry. We're using in the health sector. We're using on all kinds of places, but not really very much in the maritime sector. Not near what we should be. Except our folks here that I learned locally here who are doing it for America's Cup. That's a great starting point, okay? I mean, we are bringing state-of-the-art capability.
Yeah, the UWF program, the WAVE program, in conjunction with the port and American Magic, these are all, those are, that's a really nice local thing that sort of connects to this, but that's a knowledge base. We have all kinds of best practices and great research and advanced knowledge in all kinds of areas, shipbuilding and maritime construction, that's, we just don't. Because we haven't been funding it and haven't been developing it. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays either, so that's great news. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. In case you're just joining us, we're in the middle of walking you through a presentation yesterday by Dr. Stephen Flynn, the director of the Defense Industrial Base Initiative, basically tasked with figuring out how to get America back on the proper industrial footing to be prepared for war with China. And the maritime slice of it was what he was talking about yesterday here in Pensacola at a Propeller Club event at the Yacht Club. So workforce, supply chain, knowledge base or best practices, procurement, another big area, a gap for us.
Our next problem here is our acquisition and procurement process is designed for self-destruction. If you wanted to come up with a more insane way of doing things, you would give Congress 80 years of time to do it, and they have succeeded at that accomplishment.
Our procurement processes are impossible for a war economy, for an industrial economy that's supposed to really produce what we need in order to be, you know, a competitor with China. And, you know, we've fallen into all kinds of problems in that realm. And then the fifth one.
We have to reform the acquisition and procurement process. And finally, we got to harness probably our greatest asset, our remaining superpower, which is we're the wealthiest country in the world, and how do we bring the private sector, private capital into this mix?
Yeah, getting the private sector involved, because that's what happened in World War II, right, with the Freedom's Forge. You know, it's finding the way to turn the private sector into the real monster behemoth productive capacity that it has been in the past. And, you know, this wasn't all doom and gloom, okay? A lot of the talk about China and America's military or non-military industrial preparation is very depressing. This was not depressing because he says, look, we've done it before, we can do it again.
Here's an amazing number. In all the way from the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, out on Kitty Hawk, launching the first plane until 1939, the entire United States built 6,000 airplanes from that time to 1939. During the Second World War, we built 300,000 airplanes. From 6,000 to 300,000. We built 1,000 naval ships.
That's amazing.
Warships. That didn't count all the support ones. That's just the warships. Right? We've done this before. And we did it by capitalizing on not a militarized system, but drawing from civil society and the productive capability we have here.
And a free, industrious, ingenious people like the United, like the Americans are compared to the Chinese, there's great hope if only we will get serious about this.
We need a coalition like we had with the Manhattan Project between higher education and the public and private sector to take this on as a national emergency, national moment.
And the Trump administration, again, is working on this.
And this is what the administration is actually doing under its this executive order. We're calling it a four-coast strategy. The East and West Coast, Gulf Coast, but actually the Great Lakes as well. They were actually invaluable during the Second World War. We have our inland waterway systems, right? The St. Lawrence Seaway, we have basically water infrastructure. Let's capitalize on capability But looking at that Gulf Coast, it needs to be a Gulf Coast strategy. It's not like it was during the Second World War, where you get one design out of New York for a Liberty ship, and then we just get a make a bunch of these. Right? This is more complicated. So collaboration. What is it that we can do here in Pensacola, potentially, to support what's going on in Mobile that can support potentially something in Panama City that's got Pescaluga, right? This is all hands on deck. How do we pull it together and coordinate it?
Don't hold Pascaluga against him. He just mispronounced the word, okay? But the idea here is that historically, a lot of times, port cities think of themselves as competing against other port cities. And instead, what we need to think of is, what can we do? What can Panama City do? What can Mobile do? What can Pascagoula do? What can New Orleans do? How can we all work together? What is our role to play in this big, long-term international game? Well, we just at least have to start thinking of ourselves as part of a team.
The challenge for this community, I've been a part of it for my entire adult life, is that, you know, we've been living on scraps for so long that it makes us pretty insular and defensive. You know, one port to the left or right is doing better, that means because we're doing less better, you know, and so there's zero-sum mentality. We're at a moment, the first probably then the Second World War, where all ships can rise, okay? That if we work together collaboratively and focus on this issue and think about creating the next generation of workers, harnessing the best intellects that we have and taking advantage of the University of West Florida and other all the assets, community colleges we have, we can do this.
So in the end, it was optimistic, but it's bad. The situation we're in is bad. Again, compared to China, where they have been investing in shipbuilding and maritime, and they make 50% of the merchant marine. And like, you know, at the end of the World War, we thought we'd won, so we got lazy. We had, you know, 50 plus major defense contractors. We now have 5. We had, you know, all kinds of places where we made ships. We now make aircraft carriers in one place and subs in 2 places. And we have the capability. We can rebuild. But it's not going to take just money. It's going to take a lot of other factors as well. So I thought it was a really great presentation. It was really nice to see the Propeller Club put on a National Maritime Day for the first time ever, this historic day that doesn't get celebrated enough. And I really appreciate the relationship we've started to get with Matt Mostrup and the port and, you know, thinking about Pensacola's role to play in this, UWF and everywhere else. 721 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying a home, selling a home, doing both, picking up a rental, picking up an investment home, you know, whatever the case may be, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they're great resources. And I say that because I think a lot of times we think about big decisions and we mull them over and we talk about them with our spouse and we think and we talk and we read and we see stuff and then we kind of make a decision. And then we call the expert and get them to help us enact the decision or implement it. Instead, think of Christina as a person you could ask for input along the way. And then she can help guide you and help you get you the information you need in order to really make a good decision. Because, you know, the only thing worse than wasting a bunch of time on a decision you can't implement is discovering that you made a decision. It's like, what now? You know, well, get that information ahead of time. Give her a call, 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
I want to thank all of our listeners who tune in to our daily Strength for Life segments here in Pensacola and across the country. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your thoughtful feedback. Thank you for humbly letting God strengthen you through the principles of His Word and the power of His Spirit. If you're interested in more Strength for Life, please check out our YouTube channel. Our radio segments are only 60 seconds in length, but our YouTube video segments provide 4 to 5 minute videos of practical Bible content on topics such as overcoming jealousy, how to strengthen your marriage, and much more. Find our YouTube channel by searching Strength for Life Pensacola and be sure to subscribe. We produce fresh video content each week, which is certain to strengthen your walk with God and strengthen your relationship with others.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl?
Yeah.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beach time, and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Now for be it proclaimed, the Board of County Commissioners of Escambia County, Florida does hereby declare the week of May 19th through May 26th, 2025 as National Beach Safety Week. And Escambia County urges all people using our beaches to enjoy themselves at the beach this year while taking appropriate measures to protect themselves and their children.
Absolutely. Eric Gilmore, the Director of Public Safety, who is Dave Greenwood's boss, basically. Dave Greenwood is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. He'll join us here in just a second. Before that, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Now to Dave Greenwood. Dave, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, thank you, Andrew, and it's a beautiful start to Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, outstanding. A very busy weekend, I know, for your folks, especially with all the celebrations going on down towards the east. But I want to go back in history for a second, because since you and I talked, there was news of this very dramatic drone life preserver rescue where the life tubes, basically a guy took them, carried one, missed, carried a second one out and saved this woman's life over towards, not on Fort Pickens, but close to there, right?
Yes, that's a wonderful story, and it makes it really wonderful because it had a really happy ending.
Amen.
Safe conclusion to, you know, somebody in imminent peril. But at the same time that was going on last Thursday about 6:50, I was at home and I figured, I wonder what the beach looks like. So I pulled up on the web camera and I was looking east and I could see three people in a rip current channel between our towers 3 and 4. Two of them got out of the water, walked up on the beach. The third person, individual, was still in the water. And I was called up by Deputy Chief AJ and said, hey, pull up the web camera. Do you see what's going on at Casino Beach? And we're watching this person struggle in the water. And then into the picture shoots a paddleboard, and it's one of our off-duty lifeguards. Several of them were surfing on the other side of the pier. They made it to the victim, the patient, in the water, put them on the backboard, and brought him up to the beach and provided emergency care, and ambulance took that individual off the hospital for further evaluation.
Oh,
so
man.
A disaster narrowly averted. Our guards were out there, and at the same time, we were wondering where fire rescue was, and they were down there 2 miles to the east on that call. Drone call.
And I just want to make sure I heard you right. You said off-duty. This wasn't a guard on station. This is an off-duty lifeguard.
No, correct. They had worked a little after 6. At about 6:15, they had shut down operations for the day, put the equipment away, and some of them were surfing on the other side of the pier, and they spotted this individual in distress. And Michael Walls paddled over there on the rescue board and put the individual on the paddle board and got him out of the water, up to the beach, and began emergency care. And several others ran over, got a truck. Somebody got a backboard and transported them off the beach up to the ambulance.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. That's fantastic. And also with the drone story, just a sort of proof of concept that having those life tubes or whatever available, may well could save somebody's life. So always
yes,
a good note.
Yes, you can see the benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
What
are we looking at this weekend, again, for a very busy Memorial Day weekend?
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. Perfect weather because, the condition of the Gulf of Mexico is indicative of how busy our day will be. So the Gulf of Mexico looks to be fairly calm over the weekend. So, you know, we're projected to have green flags flying. So
outstanding.
Still enter the water. Use caution when you're in the water. So, but for our point of view, it's going to be a spectacular weekend. You know, Escambia County schools are out. I remember as an individual going to school, this is one of the happiest days of the year.
Right, absolutely. Dave Greenwood, he is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Dave, as always, thank you for the help, the overseeing of the safety of our beach and helping save lives and keep people safe when we're coming, whether visitors or locals. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Andrew, have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you so much. 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Hey, coming up in a moment, we're going to talk to one of the most well-known liberal Democrats in the Florida House, Anna Escamani, about what it's like to be a Democrat in the Florida House. David Wayne is in the newsroom. Do you have a headline for us, David?
I sure do. Over 200 crypto investors showed up at Donald Trump's gala dinner promoting his new meme coin last night. That was held at his golf course near Washington, D.C. Investors had to buy the cryptocurrency to get in.
Can I buy one for 10 bucks?
I don't.
No, probably not.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The man now charged with murdering two Israeli embassy aides in D.C. confessed, according to an FBI affidavit filed with the charges. The victims, a young couple, Yaron Leshinsky and Sarah Milgram.
Sarah was somebody who really cared about building peace. She spent time in Israel studying friendships and whether friendships between Arabs and Israelis could lead to promoting peace.
That's National Council of Jewish Women CEO Sheila Katz at a vigil in D.C. A third woman's accused of helping a New Orleans jail escapee.
Connie Whedon faces a felony charge along with two other accused women arrested on charges of being accessories after the fact. And a maintenance worker also arrested shut off water to a cell that the 10 inmates used in the escape by removing a toilet from the wall. He claims he did it under the threat of being stabbed.
Fox's Chandler Painter, 5 of the 10 are recaptured. The breakout was a week ago today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now. We've got an absolutely gorgeous morning, 70 degrees, and it is sunny this morning in Pensacola. The UWF Board of Trustees has scheduled a special board meeting for Tuesday the 27th, that's this coming Tuesday, to select an interim school president following the resignation of UWF President Dr. Martha Saunders. When they meet, they'll also pick an effective date for Saunders' resignation and discuss hiring an executive search firm to find a replacement for Dr. Saunders. A new medical test showing some promise for Alzheimer's patients.
The future's not that far away, as a new blood test that detects Alzheimer's is the first of its kind to be cleared by the Food and Drug Administration. The test targets people 55 and older who already have memory problems or other signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's. A survey from the Alzheimer's Association found that the vast majority of older Americans would take a blood test to find out if they have that disease. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Memorial Day weekend is here, and so that means it's official. We are in full beach season. Now, if you don't have a way to get out to the beach, don't worry, because ECAT has you covered.
We depart at the 1515 West Fairfield, the Rosa Park Transit Facility at 3 o'clock, and they're more than welcome to board the bus and ride out to the beach for free as well.
And that is ECAT Director Rodriguez Kimbrough. Route 51 runs 7 days a week for free, takes you to and from the beach at no charge. Also, starting tomorrow, another route, the Seasonal Beach Jumper, is going to start running. That goes from NAS Pensacola to the beach on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays throughout the beach season. Also at the beach, the trolleys back in action starting today. The Santa Rosa Island Authority's free trolley service offers 30 stops, maybe a few more than 30, along three different routes. All three of those routes originate from Casino Beach. One runs to Portofino, another to Park West near the National Seashore entrance, and the third runs along the commercial core to the Grand Marlin. Those trolleys free for everybody. They run every day, 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to midnight through Labor Day. And again, the first day back for those is today. Well, if you've noticed a lot of mosquitoes out lately, you're not imagining it. Now, there's a ton of them. And to fight the mosquitoes, Escambia County Mosquito Patrol is now conducting fogging missions. According to the county's website, they can be a big public health issue and carry some serious diseases. To request a fogging in your area, you can email mosquitocontrol@myescambia.com. Check the county website, myescambia.com, for more information on where their next fogging operations will be. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to report to you. That's going to slow you down. Seeing some delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Heading into your Saturday, small chance of a stray pop-up shower, 10% overall. Most of us looking nice and sunny, high near 88. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Looking at a similar forecast for that Sunday with just a small 10% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. It's 70 degrees right now. Our next news at 8. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Got a few pieces of breaking news for you. President Trump said in a social media post that Apple will have to pay a 25% tariff or more for iPhones made outside of the United States. Shares of Apple fell more than 2% upon the news. President Trump said he is recommending a straight 50% tariff on the European Union. This comes after trade negotiations have stalled. New York could be the next state to go to a four-day work week. There are two bills now in the committee that would launch pilot programs for four-day work weeks. One would apply to state employees, the other for private companies. So futures are sharply lower. This comes after President Trump's newest tariff updates. This applies to the Apple's 25% tariff for iPhones made outside of the U.S., as well as the 50% tariff that he wants to apply to the European Union. On Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost one. The NASDAQ closed flat. The S&P 500 down two. Once again, futures are sharply lower after President Trump's newest tariff updates. That's Your Money Now.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Gun Show this weekend in Crestview, Florida. Hundreds of guns, knives, ammo, coins, and more. This is a buy-sell trade event. Private sales and sellers welcome. It's a brand new event located at 410 West James Lee Boulevard, Crestview, Florida. Saturday, 9 to 4, and Sunday, 10 to 3. Admission just $10 a person. Kids under 14 are free. Discounts for law enforcement, military, firefighters, and first responders. For more information, go to usagunshowsfl.com.
The following heartwarming yet informative scene is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Son, your grandpa and I used to work on this car together, and when I'm gone, I want you to have it.
Wow, thanks, Dad.
Doesn't count. What you need is a will. Luckily, Trust and Will makes it easy. Designed by attorneys, but customized by you, you can easily create a state-specific, legally valid document that actually counts. Now, let's let the engine do the talking, am I right? Start your will at trustandwill.com. Use offer code COUNT for 20% off and make it count. Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. For details, see trustandwill.com.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
Because it came from me.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and I think this is going to be a real treat. On the line, I've got Anna Eskamani. She is one of the most prominent liberal Democrats in the Florida House. She is from Orlando, the 42nd District, and I want to give you just a real brief bio on her before we bring her on, because I think, you know, you'll find this interesting. When I say she's a liberal is liberal, I mean that. She's a University of Central Florida, UCF, BA in Political Science and International Studies, a BA in Interdisciplinary Studies and Women's Studies, UCF Master's in Public Administration and Nonprofit Management, Graduate Certificate in Gender Studies, Certified Nonprofit Professional, also UCF PhD in Public Affairs. Her recreational interests she lists as feminist research, going to the beach, poetry, and running. She's part of the Energy and Climate Caucus. She's part of the UCF Women and Gender Studies Advisory Council, part of the Orlando Gay Chorus Board, and you get the point. So when I say a liberal is liberal, she is. But I have been a fan for years. When I listen to the debates, when I listen to the discussions, what I hear in Anna is somebody who is smart, she's informed, she's willing to have a conversation. I may disagree with her 93% of the time, but this is the kind of person I want to have in a conversation, and I just thought it'd be interesting to talk to her. Dr. Anna Eskamani and State Representative, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. What a treat.
No doubt. So let's just start with the real basic thing. As a Democrat in the House, you're in the massive minority. You barely have a quarter of the House. You guys never get your bills passed. You rarely get your bills heard. You're basically there as the voice of the opposition, and that's about all the power you usually have. What motivates you? What keeps you in the fight? Why do you bother?
That's such a great question. And what I think about every day. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
I mean, just like the representatives that are honored and lucky to serve the Pensacola area, my constituents elected me in a competitive election. In fact, my very first election was my toughest one because I actually flipped my seat from a Republican seat to a Democratic seat. And I did that wanting the support of not just, of course, Democratic voters, but also no party affiliation voters, and even a few conservatives who liked the message that I lead with. And so it's important that those constituents that I have the honor of serving have a voice in the process, even if, to your point, it's not a voice that's going to be as loud, if you will, in setting the agenda compared to my peers. But with that said, there's also a lot of opportunities for common ground and compromise. And if you are a Democrat in a Florida House, you have to learn the art of persuasion. You also have to believe in the power of evolution, where people and their viewpoints can change if you are persuasive. And so I really take that as a challenge. And I also do see the Florida House as a people's house. And the people's house is going to be a little rowdy. It's going to be some conflict here and there. But at the end of the day, it's a reflection of how diverse this state is. And I can't think of a more effective place to be if you care about community, because some of the everyday problems, whether it's housing affordability, transportation, public safety, do not have a party affiliation. So we can find those opportunities of common ground, but part of my job, to your point, is being that loyal opposition. And I think it's important that Floridians who agree with me also have that voice.
No, it's a really interesting question to me, because I notice it in my party. Okay, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, and I see my three-quarters or two-thirds majority sometimes do really stupid things because they happen to have the power and the ability to do it. And, when you're a tight majority, or if it's close, you have to reach across the aisle, you have to make compromise, you have to persuade, you have to reason. When you have a supermajority, it's bad. It's like monopoly in business. No competition means you wind up charging more for the worst product. And
and
that's what I sometimes see with the legislature is they do dumb stuff just because they can, and nobody has the power to stop them, which that's not a good thing.
Well, and I really appreciate your metaphor to a monopoly structure, because I definitely agree. I mean, I have very free market principles when it comes to the need for competition and for the role that government can play in eliminating monopolies. But it's just so ironic because we literally are operating in that structure. And so I agree with you wholeheartedly. And so we need to be there to try to bring that balance. Now, of course, this legislative session has been very unique, more unique than others, because the Speaker of the House, my Speaker, is challenging Governor Ron DeSantis in ways that we haven't seen before, at least in my tenure in legislature. And that has restored some balance, which I'm grateful for, honestly, because people, unfortunately, get comfortable, they get power hungry, they just keep gripping onto control. And good ideas never rise to the top, because I'm a firm believer that if you have a policy proposal and it's good, it shouldn't matter where it came from, whether a Republican proposed it or a Democrat proposed it. And honestly, as a Democrat, I've had to let go of a lot of good ideas. You know, there are bills that I have filed that I knew because I had filed it, it wasn't going to pass. For example, Florida has in the last 6 years, we've created a online tracking system for rape kits. So if you are a survivor of sexual assault, not only are you going to be navigating this trauma and hopefully you feel comfortable reporting it to law enforcement, and you, if you consent to a rape kit, Florida now allows you to track where that kit is, have there been any matches made, and for you to be more in control of your future and of the charges you may wish to seek. That was a bill that I filed when I was a freshman lawmaker, and I had to give it up to another Republican lawmaker because I knew it wasn't going to pass, at least in the beginning of my career. Now I can pass bills because as a senior, you have a little bit more respect, if you will, in the process.
Sure.
But when you're first starting as a Democrat, it's even harder.
And the Republicans are not going to give you a win that you can go back and campaign on. I mean, you know, that's power politics. That's how that works.
Exactly. 100%. I mean, case in point, the diaper tax break. So this was a bill that I carried for 5 years to eliminate the tax on children's diapers and adult incontinence products. And we got it through. And to my speaker's credit, this is Speaker Paul Renner. He did give me a shout out on the House floor, said it was my diaper tax language. But of course, when Governor Ron DeSantis campaigned on it and signed it into law, I was not at the ribbon cutting for it. You know, I wasn't. I was never mentioned in his hundreds of ads about it, right? I know. Now, granted, honestly, you know, my feelings are not hurt. Like you said, politics is politics. And everyone in my district knows it was my bill. And that's what matters to me, is the folks who vote for me need to know the work that I'm doing. But at the end of the day, you can't have ego in this process. So if there's one lesson I've learned the last 7 years of being in the Florida House, is you can't have ego. And I think it makes the process a lot easier, honestly, when you are a Democrat in the back rows, when you don't take things personally, you don't have ego, because they can just focus on the fight ahead, and you're not caught up in your head, right? And so that's been very helpful for me.
No, that's interesting. And it dovetails with what you were early saying about how, you know, you can't afford to just be right. You have to learn how to be persuasive, which is a whole different set of skills, especially when you're trying to persuade the other side, basically, to give you a win. We're talking to Anna Eskamani. She is the Democratic representative from the 42nd District in the Florida House from Orlando. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Anna Eskamani, Dr. Anna Eskamani. I'm a conservative, you know, I'm a Republican, I'm a Christian, okay? But I find more and more that the people that I feel like I have common cause with, you know, like my tribe, if you want to call it that, is not necessarily those people. It's people who care about reasoning. It's people who care about evidence. It's people who are willing to be wrong. It's people who are willing to learn. And that's one of the things that drew me to you. And there are other, like, I'm a big fan of Jason Pizzo, you know, who just left the Democratic Party. I like him because it feels there's a team of people that are playing with civility and rules and reasoning and logic and a willingness to be in error. And then there's sort of the flamethrowers on either side. And honestly, I can get along better with people who are disagreeing with me politically, but play those games right rather than the sort of flamethrowers on my side who say stupid stuff. Do you feel that way?
Oh, for sure. And what's so ironic about that, and this is something I talk about a lot, actually, is, you know, a lot of folks might assume that because I'm a Democrat and because I'm a Democrat, right, that, like, a lot of Republicans don't like me, don't want to talk to me. And not only is that not true, but the people that a lot of us don't want to talk to are the same people, regardless of party. And it's because they're just difficult to talk to, right? To your point, they're just not nice people. They're very bombastic, and they're difficult to work with. And I think just in any work environment, you know, my work environment in this context is 119 coworkers. We've all been elected from different parts of the state to uphold the values that we were elected upon, right? So if you're at a, you know, your day job and you got 20 coworkers, there might be a coworker, regardless of their political affiliation, they're just hard to work with. It's the same thing, right? It's just regardless of their political affiliation, personality-wise, they're very difficult. And they do have ego, or they have their own agenda. And you know, politics can be very transactional, and there are some folks who also, that's how they operate. You know, they operate in this context of, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. Honestly, that's not how I like to operate. I believe in transformational politics, which for me means I give without expectation, with the hope that it will inspire you to do the same, but I don't have a agenda of you returning the favor. And I like to think that when you model that, it can really set a catalyst for a new type of politics. Because as you might know, I am someone who challenges corporate greed. I'm pretty aggressive on that. I don't take money from large corporations. I don't even take money from the theme parks in my own backyard, because I like to operate a campaign free of that type of influence. And it also allows me to make decisions based on merit, not based on influence, you know, of a certain actor or entity.
Right.
And I would argue that that's a better politics, right? It doesn't matter my party. That's just a better politics that I think constituents appreciate. And I don't know if you know this, Andrew, but my district, I actually won two precincts that voted for Trump last year. So there are Trumpist commodity voters in Orlando.
My brain just split in half. You know, that's amazing.
A few of them.
No, that's
I know.
That's,
and I've met a few of them, and you know, a part of it is just authenticity. It's the accessibility, but it's also the fact that they know what they get with me. And I think there's a layer of trust there that even if we don't always agree, they know where I'm coming from, and it's a good place.
No, that's fantastic. And it, honestly, that's encouraging about the electorate, that they can make those kind of distinctions. And you know, you tend to think that people are all, you know, lever A or lever B, and it's nice that they can make some of those nuanced differences. Anna Eskamani, by the way, the first Iranian American elected to any public office in Florida, which is kind of an interesting little note. We are almost totally out of time. Delightful conversation, but I know you're big on higher education. Obviously, here in West Florida, we have been just consumed with the takeover of the board by Governor DeSantis's appointees, the, I think, very bad treatment of our current president, who I dearly love, Martha Saunders, for a university that's been doing very well. I don't know how closely you have been following this, and I hate to put you on the spot with only about like really 2 minutes or so left in the interview, but thoughts, observations, anything you want to say, having followed, because I know you do follow this because you care about the university system and being a higher ed person yourself. But any thoughts or observations about this or what it means for Florida in general?
Oh, it's incredibly concerning. You know, any type of politician that inserts themselves into the governance structure of higher education should be a red flag. You know, our universities are not supposed to be political. They're supposed to be focused on building the next generation of talent for our workforce and giving young people leadership skills to better our state and our country. And when we continue to see Governor DeSantis just exert his influence over the process, it really corrodes this experience. And Dr. Saunders, so incredibly qualified. And if you are a merit-based person, right, if you're upset about some of the perceptions that people have been selected, you know, based on identity or based on favoritism, that is what's happening right now. Governor Ron DeSantis is choosing people just based on favoritism towards him, not on merit. And I'm very disappointed knowing the direction things are going right now at UWF, which is why I was proud to co-sponsor legislation with Republican Representative Michelle Salzman,
right,
to restore transparency to the presidential search process, because that is your president. That's not Governor DeSantis' president. And obviously these fights will continue.
I thought that was the most bizarre reversal, like gaslighting, that I've seen the governor yet. Is because a bill is so bipartisan that even Michelle Salzman and Anna Eskamani can work together on it, he used that as an argument against the bill. How dare you support anything that Anna Eskamani would ever do? And I'm like, good Lord, sir, you couldn't have been more upside down on understanding the significance of this issue here in Pensacola. So anyway, hey, Anna, we're completely out of
100%.
Time, but thank you. So, you know, I hope we'll talk again, because again, I can talk with almost anybody. The people I have the most trouble with, honestly talking, are not people who disagree with me. It's people who don't reason well, aren't open to being persuaded, and who lie. I mean, those are like my keys. I find you, you know, historically, having watched you in the house, you know, very open, very honest. You're always smiling and having fun. There's a little bit of self, joking at your own, you know, expense.
Deprecating humor.
Yeah, which is, you know, always endearing. But hey, keep totally. Up the good work, and I hope we can kind of continue this conversation on other topics at a different time. Anna Eskamani, State
thank
Representative
you.
For District 42. Thank you so much for the time and for what you're doing. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Be blessed, everyone. Talk soon.
Absolutely. 7:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So you can kind of hear, the reason I wanted to do that is because I wanted to show that it's possible. I mean, it really is. And look, I know we didn't talk about a lot of deep conflict issues, but I'm sure we could. And so we'll probably have her on again more in the future, just because I think it's important for us to be able to talk with the people who disagree with it. You, if you listen to this show, you know that's true. Like, that's a big belief of mine. So I'm just, you know, kind of proud to be able to feature that with somebody in particular. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 29, 90, 98. You know, you just any numbers you want to put in there. I'll look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, if you have a company, you have employees, you have to deal with benefits like insurance for health and dental and vision and life and disability and managing HR and payroll and all the fun stuff. Like all the reason you got who does, right? Nobody. Well, I mean, actually, Torgus and Causey, they got into business to do that because they like doing that and they're good at it. And, you know, they got the thumbs up approval from my wife, who is a very question detail oriented industrial engineer by training. And most of the time, she is not particularly satisfied with insurance people and salespeople, but Torgus and Causey, they get her double. She's a big fan. She loves them. We started working with them about 4 years ago here at Cat Country and News Radio. Better plans, better choices, better customer service. Like I said, we really like them. 433-9996 for Torgus and Causey, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Gathering at Pensacola Beach is a wonderful family experience. If you've thought about having a family celebration or an amazing beach wedding, there is a very special home now available, Casa de Luna. Casa de Luna is spacious with room for large families. It has 9 large bedrooms and 8 bathrooms. Casa de Luna is a large private home with a refreshing pool and water views. The pool has a new 4,000 BTU gas heater. Casa de Luna is unique in that the main living area is directly on the ground level. It's very convenient. Bedrooms are both on the ground level and upstairs. One bathroom is handicap friendly, and another has a jacuzzi tub. There is a large gaming porch with a pool table, hockey, ping pong, and Xbox One. Bicycles are provided. Bring your family to Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach.
For information, call Casa de Luna at 850-433-4855. That's 850-433-4855.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What's up, Doc?
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
No way, just let that song play. That's a good start this morning.
Here we go. All right, go on, sir.
The U.S.-Iran nuclear talks continue today. Negotiators from both nations are meeting in Rome with the U.S. contingent led by Middle East Special Envoy Steve Witkoff. The U.S. Wants a halt to Iran's uranium enrichment program. Authorities in New Orleans launching an investigation into the jailbreak last week. Orleans Parish District Attorney Jason Williams says he's outraged that nearly a week later, the sheriff's office has not formally requested the processing of the crime scene. 5 of the 10 of those escapees are still on the loose.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Something amazing and wild. Scientists have created a contact lens with nanoparticles that allow you to see the infrared spectrum with your eyes because it will convert the infrared into a visible light wave. They're thinking this might also help with color blindness. They're thinking that it could expand to where you could actually see heat signatures with it. This is crazy, amazing stuff. Local news every